Shawna Rogers died a year ago today, and her life and death highlighted the many ways Texas fails child victims of sex abuse. This is story one of TPR's Justice Ignored series exploring that system. Reporter Paul Flav has more.
I'm videoing you.
This is Shawna Rogers, a few years before her death at age 17. She and some friends are dyeing Easter eggs, smiling while she shakes a Ziploc bag filled with dye and a hard-boiled egg. The 13-year-old looks happy, but not many months after this video, Shawna would start to change. She was running away for days, using drugs. Her life would spiral out of control, and she would die. The road that led to her death was filled with people indifferent to her needs, and many who failed to see her for what she was, a child. Her grandmother, Robin Ferris, remembers like yesterday the first time this child told her she was being sexually abused. It came after more than a year of declining school attendance and acting out. Ferris wanted answers.
You know, because I'm like, tell me what's going on.
So while driving her to lunch one day, Ferris started peppering the 16-year-old with questions.
And she said, pull in here. So I pulled in. It was McDonald's parking lot. And she said, just get out of the car for a minute.
Ferris got out of the car, and Shawna lost it.
And she's beating on the dash, kicking, screaming. And that's when she finally told me that Jerry had been molesting her for years.
Jerry is Gerald Monroe, Ferris's brother-in-law.
And that he told her, if she told me that I wouldn't love her anymore, I'd go off and leave her. She wouldn't have nobody, wouldn't have no money, no place to live, no nothing.
She had moved Shawna to Austin in part to be closer to her sister Lori, Jerry's wife. Lori had said she could help raise the girl, since Lori was also raising her own granddaughter as well. They moved when Shawna was 8. According to Ferris, that's when Monroe began grooming and molesting Shawna.
Yeah, it's a long story. I really don't want to talk about it. It's over.
That's Jerry Monroe. Shawna later told police Monroe started renting a room at a Comfort Inn and would give her money and rape her. The money, read the police affidavit, was so she wouldn't tell anyone.
There's no sexual assault and I didn't pay for sex.
He says Shawna needed a place to stay, so he rented her a room. Child Protective Services issued a reason to believe finding against Monroe, saying it was more likely than not he had sexually abused Shawna. After Shawna opened up to Ferris, the drug use and running away were now Shawna coping. The money and gifts Jerry Monroe used to give Shawna, she now saw as hush money.
But he would always give her money.
Maggie Comstock was Shawna's best friend and had met Monroe many times.
And just the way, like, he was around her, I guess I could just see it.
She called him Papa. Maggie's mother, Jenny Pertzborn, recalls when Maggie first found out.
And she was like, oh my God, Mom, that's Genga and Papa. And I was like, oh my God, Maggie's gone over there for dinner like bunches of times. And I remember Maggie telling me at times that she was jealous because, you know, Jerry used to give Shawna gifts and money in front of Maggie. He'd give her $100 bills.
After Shawna told police, nothing outwardly happened.
And they didn't arrest him for months. So he had time to get rid of all kinds of stuff, you know, messages on his phone and everything else.
It was Child Protective Services who first told Monroe about an investigation. They called him to tell him he couldn't speak to Shawna anymore. Court documents say he immediately tracked the 16-year-old down.
Shows up at Shawna's friend's house where Shawna was, asking her what the hell was going on. Scared the crap out of her. She's like, Nana, he's here. I said, go back in the house, shut the door, lock it, don't talk to him.
It would be 8 months before they arrested Monroe. According to experts TPR spoken to, this delay in arrest was very unusual. Nick Socias is a special victims prosecutor for Kendall County.
A law enforcement agency taking 8 months, I cannot see, and again, I don't know the whole situation, but that is a long time from accusation to arrest.
But rather than unburdened, telling Ferris seemed to untether Shawna. Her behavior became more erratic. She continued to run away. She tried to kill herself with pills. Ferris checked her into a mental health facility.
And they kept her like, you know, 3 or 4 days. I said, okay, you can come get her. And I'm thinking, what in the heck?
Ferris tried to find her someplace more long-term that could help.
All right, let's see. Cedar Crest, Blue Bonnet Trails, Waco Center for the Youth, Centicor, Sundown Ranch.
What she found was waiting lists and rejection. That sounds about right to State District Judge Aurora Martinez-Jones. She deals with CPS cases and kids in Travis County.
But I think that there is a shortage in general of therapeutic providers, especially who are adept in working with kids and kids that have been sexually abused.
For Shauna, though, it was already too late. On July 5th, 2020, Shauna was found in the bed of 23-year-old Jamil Watford at a hotel. She was scantily clad and intoxicated. Cameras were set up facing the bed.
That's when they told me that this Jamil was trafficking her, that he was having her do videos. They were posting them online.
Police documents say Watford sold Shauna for sex for weeks. But Watford wasn't arrested for trafficking or for child pornography. One source who asked not to be named said police treated evidence of Shauna's exploitation with, quote, a shrug of the shoulders. Police were more interested in a murder and Watford and the girl's involvement.
She lit the fuse that killed my son.
Jim Branham's son, Chris, was murdered by Kyle Cleveland and Anthony Davis, say police records. But earlier on the evening of his death, he and the two men were with Shauna and Jamil Watford. Shauna would tell authorities that Branham was there to buy drugs. The documents say the men jumped Branham, calling him a snitch. Shauna was instructed to join in and to record it.
After her friends or their spies beat our son unconscious and was robbing him, she videotaped herself with her cell phone, stomping on his head when he lay there unconscious.
The Branhams said Shauna was responsible, but police affidavits say the murder occurred hours later and many miles away from Shauna. The girl was placed at the refuge in April 2021. The facility set amongst Bastrop's Hills treats survivors of sex trafficking. Fair said she was improving.
I was seeing more of how she used to be, the joking, happy kid that she was.
But friends of Shauna's say the girl was struggling with her forced sobriety and planned to run away. Two former residents and a former case manager told TPR she used a staff member's phone to coordinate an escape, trading sex for a ride. The refuge denied a staff member's phone was used to escape. On Ferris's last visit, the two were scheduled to sleep overnight at a nearby hotel.
And she was in one bed, I was in the other, and I fell asleep, woke up a couple hours later, and she wasn't in the room. My heart sank.
Ferris would not see her again until the girl was on her deathbed, 2 months later. Shauna was in a car accident that left her brain dead while still on the run. Police guarded the brain-dead teenager's hospital room, and the family had to go to court to let her die without their presence. Because of her death, the case against Jerry Monroe was dropped. Jamil Watford pleaded guilty to robbery. Kyle Cleveland pleaded guilty to murder. None of the men were charged for anything they allegedly did to Shauna. In fact, none of the men accused of systematically abusing Shauna Rogers are being held accountable a year after her death.
I just want to see some laws changed where these girls feel like they're getting some kind of justice. Because if they're being molested and trafficked and these men are getting away with it, how is that fair to these victims?
In part two of this story airing tomorrow, we hear more about Jerry Monroe, Shauna's alleged abuser, and an executive at Texas Foster Care and Adoption Services, a San Antonio nonprofit paid to oversee foster placements by the state. I'm Paul Flav in San Antonio.